Weekly Connect.
The Weekly Connect.
On RNIB Connect Radio.
We are going to talk about a subject that is close to everyone's heart if you are blind or partially sighted, and that is employment. Now, it's a subject we talked about just a couple of weeks ago, actually, on the programme, but a lot of you have been in touch to give your views and your thoughts on this, and we want you to continue doing that. It is your programme. We are literally giving the microphone to you, so please take it and please tell us about the issues that you face. Now, in terms of employment, sometimes it's just getting over the door that can be the difficulty. Sometimes it can be attitudes in the job as well. And there can be issues even accessing the information or the technology that you're needing to use in the business. But actually, is it always someone else's problem? Can we do more as blind or partially sighted people? Well, to discuss all of this, I've got two people here in the studio who know a little bit about all of this. We've got Imogen Godwin and Joseph Rendell with us. And you're going to tell us a bit about your experiences, Joseph, in particular from your point of view of trying to get a job and the various applications that you've gone through and been unsuccessful. We're going to talk to you about that. You are on placement at the moment, actually, with Guide Dogs, so looking forward to hearing about that and what your future plans are. And also Imogen Godwin, who's with us. You are 19, you are a blogger, and you've been heavily involved in trying to find out about some of the issues that blind people face when it comes to getting a job through a project called Proved Possible, highlighting the work of people who actually are in employment and the kind of things that they do to prove to people who are fully sighted employers, that is, often that, you know, anything is possible when it comes to jobs. Well, within reason, let's be fair. Imogen and Joseph, good to have you here.
Thank you.
So, yeah, employment is a big topic for us as blind and partially sighted people, because there are so many different experiences we have of the job market, whether it be the interview stage or the experience of in work itself. For you two, though, the reason we're keen to talk to you both is because of some rather interesting experiences you've both had. Joseph, you are currently on work placement with Guide Dogs, but you've applied for a number of jobs, haven't you?
Yes, I have. The job applications have been varied, because I'm aiming to work in the council sector, so I've been applying to councils, etc. Through my experiences, the job applications, it's been varied in terms of response and attitude.
What attitudes have you experienced? Have you had positive experiences, negative ones? Outline them for us if you can.
Well, in terms of attitudes, I've experienced people who are nervous, not sure how to understand a visually impaired person, and not sure how to help, I think is a big one. Because I think they've just not experienced what it's like to work with a visually impaired person.
You know, sometimes it's been the case that, you know, I've had friends of mine say, you know, when they go for a job interview, it's as if they are an alien that's just walked into the room. Nobody recognises or understands that they are, in fact, a human being. You know, the blindness is just part of it. Do you get that impression? And I guess maybe you do, but by what you're saying.
Yeah, I definitely get that impression as to what people think.
So Imogen's with us as well. Imogen, thank you for joining me here, because you are 19, you're a student, you're a blogger, and you're a creative. Wow, you've been busy. and you've been documenting your journey with blindness and mental illness on a blog, UpsideDownChronicles.com, which I encourage everyone to read. And you've been sharing all those experiences.
At the moment, I'm actually a full-time student, so I'm not actively looking for employment at this time. I do, however, do some bits of freelance work, running workshops and doing conference talks about the workshops of storytelling, and have sort of an arty base, and the conferences tend to be on mental illness and the arts in some way.
Okay, so tell us about that project and what it means and what you hope it will achieve.
Well, the project is Proved Possible, and I created it. It's very new. It's only 3 weeks old, so it's a baby project. And the whole idea about it was that I wanted to create a platform where people with all sorts of different disabilities or long-term illnesses could talk about their experiences in work and in higher education, talking about what kind of job roles they've done, the roles that they've proved possible, if you like, because having a disability really throws into question what is possible and what isn't possible. For example, a completely blind person will not be a very good brain surgeon.
Yeah.
So the kind of thing I wanted to do was to collect enough stories to show what was achievable and what isn't achievable, and ways that people have come over things that they thought weren't going to be able to come over, that they weren't achievable, and how they did that. So it's kind of giving people a platform to help each other up to where they want to be in employment.
Okay, but again, you know, reality for a lot of people is a very different thing for one, you know, from one person to the other. So how do you lay that out? Because, you know, someone might think, for example, that when they lose their sight, they can do nothing at all. They can't work at all. And that's not necessarily the case. So how do you go from that expectation to people who, as you say, know they can't be brain surgeons?
I think that it's very important for people who are in employment to share it. I mean, there is a major problem in the fact that not many people with disabilities are employed. But it doesn't mean that people with disabilities can't be employed. It's very different. And through starting this project already, I've found lots of people with visual impairments, with other disabilities, who are doing really high-powered and just a wide variety of roles in employment, and they're doing it successfully and they're enjoying it.
Joseph, from your point of view, you know, you say you've been through interviews, you've been to those processes, and you haven't been successful on certain occasions. What does that feel like when you get told, no, this job isn't for you? Do you get the impression that you are not getting the job because of ability or because they have concerns about your visual impairment?
From what I've experienced personally, they will often raise an issue that they may not say it in so many words, but it would be, you know, it's very hard to get to in terms of the location. So they're wondering there if I'm able to get there as a visually impaired person, or there may be a particular part of the job in an office if they wonder I'd be able to do it. So I'm very upfront when it comes to the interviewing process, to explain to them what I am able to do, so that awkward conversation doesn't happen.
Because, you know, having that conversation is difficult, isn't it? And have you ever been tempted to, or could you, as some people have, and, you know, we all know this to be true, I guess, to some degree, some of us have not disclosed our visual impairment or disability, however you choose to do that or say that. Have you ever done that, been able to do that?
In certain situations where if you really want the job, it can be very tempting, but I've always thought, well, if that happens and I get the job, but then I'm unable to do a part of it because I've not raised it up, that's going to work out less for me in the long run.
I think that's a really important thing, opening channels to ask the questions and to get the response that fits the person, because by hiding your disability, you can't then expect your employer to provide for it. So I understand why people wouldn't disclose it, but I think you would be doing yourself short if you didn't disclose it, and then we're going to really struggle in the workplace because you have this disability.
It's a little bit chicken and egg, though, isn't it? Because if you don't disclose it, then you might have a better chance at getting the job, possibly, arguably, and that certainly seems to be the case with a lot of people. Or alternatively, you disclose it and, you know, you reduce your chances. So, you know, it's, and I wouldn't suggest anyone does, you know, not disclose it, because I think you're right. You know, you should disclose your disability, because ultimately, as you say, Joseph, you know, why shouldn't you? This is who you are. This is the person you are. Is it, though, Imogen, you know, from your experience, perhaps, you know, the stories you've heard, is it the case that we need to just be more educated ourselves into being able to preempt the questions and the fears and the concerns that potential employers may have?
I think that the best way to preempt what employers are going to wonder and think is by interacting with people outside of the disability kind of network, if you like. And you'll find that some people have really bizarre concerns, like we're worried because we don't have a lift that your guide dog could use. We're worried because we don't have a hearing loop suitable for you if you're blind. That kind of misunderstanding, not enough education, that can really make employers feel nervous. And I think, like anything, if they overthink too much and they already haven't been educated in disabilities, then they can build it into something that they perceive is going to be a huge problem in their office, when actually it's not going to be at all. And I think the applicants should try to be as open as possible to get that kind of communication going.
I think that's good advice. Joseph, you know, does it get frustrating that you have to go into an interview so prepared to answer every possible question that is to be had around your sight condition, and also to be automatically discounted or, you know, reduce the chances of you getting the next stage or even the job itself because of a visual impairment? Do you think that's an incredible place we're in 2017?
It has been hard to remember all the questions relating to my disability that they may need to know. I mean, that certainly adds something to the whole process, where you're already, you know, in a normal situation, you'd just be thinking of purely the interview questions, but we've got this whole other section of our disability and what they may ask, what they may not, to try and fill in those gaps.
I hope that the government's papers, the green papers at the moment, will enable employers to already have the education about different disabilities. Because what I find really sad is hearing about people who have gone into a job interview and they've not been asked a single question about the job. They've just been asked, how much can you see, how far can you walk, that kind of thing, which is ridiculous in 2017.
Yeah, that does seem ridiculous, doesn't it? And inside our world, inside the visually impaired world, we get it, we understand it. But from, you know, your perspectives, Imogen, from your point of view going forward, and Joseph, from your previous experiences, it does seem crazy that you have to answer some of these questions. From your end, Joseph, have you had any of the kind of questions that Imogen talks about, the hearing loop or the lift for the guide dog or anything like that?
Well, I've had questions in terms of, is there anything you would need? Certainly, because a lot of the interviews I go for are jobs involving computers. So obviously the main things I would need there is software on the computer. But that's the main thing I go for in that respect.
Okay, but any sort of questions that they asked you that they maybe said, you know, how do you use a computer if you're blind, or anything like that?
They've not so much said it. Is they've more asked, would you have any problems using any of the equipment? That kind of question.
Mm. It does seem that, you know, even though there is a lot more discussion, and this is one of them, many discussions about the challenges that blind and partially sighted people face going into work, it does seem that we still have an awful lot of barriers. Imogen, is that the impression you're getting from the people that have spoken to you through your project?
I think that there are a lot of barriers, and I think it takes a certain level of trust between an employer and a potential or current employee to successfully manage a disability in the workplace. I think from the employer's side, there needs to be a level of trust that actually this person wouldn't apply for this job. They wouldn't put themselves through this if it was impossible for them to do. And I think the applicants need to be willing to share with the employer that that's the case. I think there are an awful lot of barriers, but it shouldn't put people off seeking employment. And that's the main concern for me, that people are just not going to try, or misinformed people are going to say, you can't do that because you have this disability. 'Cause nobody really has the right to say that to you unless they have your condition or they are you.
One final question for you both. Imogen, what is it you're intending to do? What is the job that you want?
Well, the whole project came about because I want to be an occupational therapist. And I saw on the uni requirements for studying occupational therapy that you have to pass a medical. And I saw that and I went, oh boy, that's, I don't know if I've ever passed a medical. So I then went on a search on the internet trying to find occupational therapists with visual impairments. Eventually I found somebody, but then I thought, well, wouldn't it be great if there was a platform where you could search for this kind of thing? And that's kind of where the project came from.
Fantastic. Okay. And Joseph, I know you're doing the work placement with guide dogs. Is that something you want to take on further, or have you got is there a dream in mind?
Oh, well, the guide dog thing is very important to me because the charity sector is definitely something I want to continue doing and working in. Yes, definitely.
You're enjoying that. Okay, well, I wish you both very well in the future. And hopefully one day, I mean, we say this every week on our programme, but hopefully we'll get to a point where we don't have to explain ourselves so much in the future.
Yeah.
But I think we're a long way off, I think. But Imogen, you know, really appreciate what you're doing with the project. It sounds fantastic. And Joseph, I wish you all the best in the future. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, if you've got a view on any of that, or you think that perhaps there's a better route to employment and you found it, then tell us. You can email theweeklyconnect@rnib.org.uk.
The Weekly Connect.
The Weekly Connect.
On RNIB Connect Radio.